Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour NFL Draft Night Number 1, boys. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry. That is a big thermos.
Yeah, it's
we're
going to
be here for
juice.
A couple hours. Jay Croucher. It's the best. Best night of the year, in my opinion, of the offseason at least.
Wow. Yeah.
You know why? And I'll
best
tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because everyone has hope.
Yeah,
yes. Maybe you're a beaten down Commanders fan, just to pick a random example.
Yes.
Maybe you make your living covering the freaking Jets. Maybe you are a sad bandwagon fan who chose the Giants as the bandwagon to jump on.
Best night of the year.
Best night of the year because we haven't lost yet, guys. We all have hope tonight.
Yep. Every pick is an A+.
Every pick
every
is
player
awesome.
Is generational.
Yes.
Pro bowler.
Yes.
And for that, Vontae Mack drinks for free.
Oh,
speaking of generational pro bowlers.
Go Vontae.
Yes.
Vontae Mack, no
you
matter
know.
What.
Yep.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, and that, by the way, underneath his name, it stands for if you know, you know. Which
this is, yes, in case some people may not know that.
Such as.
Right.
Well, you wanted to explain it to everyone.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Did you know Kevin Stefanski, by the way, was coach of the year last year?
Yeah, second time. Right.
Fair enough. Anyway, Vontae Mack, no matter what. So we will see what ends up happening tonight. But very excited for my Commanders to potentially not screw up the pick.
Yeah.
And they could possibly, with 2 second rounders, come back into round one again and maybe not screw up a second first round.
Yeah, let's see.
There's a lot happening here.
Yeah, a lot's happening.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to what my Giants do at 6.
It's a big mystery.
Yeah, it is a bit of a mystery. I think I want Malik Nabers. I don't trust any of the quarterbacks after the first couple.
It could be Nabers. It could. I've seen Brock Bowers mocked there as well. And some of the quarterbacks. You're not a J.J. McCarthy guy?
I don't know. I used to be a guy who was like, just take a quarterback in the first 10 picks because you got to take as many swings. But I don't know if I want J.J. to be my swing. I might just want to take Malik Nabers.
Until you see some of them or hear about them and you're like, maybe that's not the swing we want to take.
Yeah. So sometimes you got to take a good pitch, Malik Nabers.
Well, it is always so fascinating because we spend so much time talking about today, tonight, you know, and the next 3 days. And then, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, Trey Lance really went too, and Mac Jones, and literally the quarterback class of whatever that was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Trevor Lawrence is the only guy on his original team.
It's crazy.
I'm a Commanders fan, as everyone knows, and I remember we were in this situation before where they traded 3 ones to move up to get RG3 at 2, and then they just threw away a fourth round pick on Kirk Cousins, which was the right. I mean, like, you know. Kirk Cousins obviously has had a much more productive career than Griffin ever did.
To be fair, it looked like an absolute bargain after 16 weeks with RG3.
Yes. And, of course, Dan Snyder and his crappy field conditions and, like, you know, the torn ACL and the whole thing. So what are you going to do there? It's always fascinating to think about, you know, every pick matters, right? Brock Purdy, like we just saw it this past year. Brock Purdy, every pick matters.
Even the very last one. We're going to be reacting to the picks, fantasy analysis of the picks, the impact. That could even be your team or a team in the NFL just taking offensive linemen. What does that do for their offense as a whole? Talk about some of these crazy markets as well, as they've been all over the place leading up to this draft.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's it looked like Drake May was going to go second. Looked like Drake May was going to go first for a time, then second. Now it looks like he's probably going to settle into third. But yeah, no, I don't think anyone really has a great feel after 4 exactly what's going to happen. I think top 4 we have a fair idea, and then 5 it could get weird.
Is there any chance that J.J. McCarthy – experiences a, because he's gotten all, he was a guy that wasn't highly thought of going into the combine, you know, as one of the elite prospects. And then there's been so much hype on him. Is there a chance J.J. McCarthy is this year's Will Levis, and that we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and that just that this has all been generated by whatever, by Harbaugh and by, you know, sort of, you
other
know,
teams
other teams trying
reason.
To like smoke yeah. screen, and there's a lot of Michigan alums in the national media, like, you know, I right. don't know.
No, the short answer is yes. I don't think now Levis falling to round two, I'd be shocked. That's the kind of slide for McCarthy where I'd be like, nobody saw right. this coming. To be fair, nobody really did
saw
see
it with
for Levis.
Everyone expected. There were rumors that Levis was going 2 overall last year.
Yeah. He was the favorite for yeah, some right. time. Yeah, I think with JJ, and also JJ's kind of is similar attributes to Levis, same kind of archetype. JJ's very zen, likes to meditate, like Will Levis had all these quirks as well. But yeah, I think that JJ is probably going in the top 13 just because he probably has a floor with that 11, 12, 13 of the Vikings, Broncos, Raiders. One of them is going to probably take him at worst. But yeah, he could definitely fall.
The demand is just crazy. Yeah. But I do think there's a chance. We know he's not going to probably be one of the first three quarterbacks taken. My bold prediction tonight is I think Michael Penix is drafted before him, which
I
think
like
would shock a lot of people.
Yes.
I think the reason we didn't hear a ton of Michael Penix buzz this last month is because some teams probably prefer it that way. And we'll see what happens. What do you got for us, Matthew?
Well, my bold prediction you sort of stole. We didn't talk. We didn't think about
he
it.
He said before we started recording he was going to do that.
No, not that one. Not that one. I was going to say my bold prediction was that the Commanders pick twice tonight. That the Commanders do trade up into the first. They're going to stay at two and they'll take the quarterback, but I think they trade into the first round to grab an offensive lineman towards the second half, especially if a guy that they like falls.
Be a great move.
Yeah.
In this draft, you want to get in on that wave one
they,
of offensive
they
linemen.
Need, that's a big area of need for them, and you know I think they have the draft capital to do so.
You know what I want to say, just for the TV content purposes, is I want the Commanders to take Jaden Daniels at two, as is expected. And then just for Matthew's reaction, I want them to trade back to, like, pick 30 and take Bo Nix.
Yes.
And to see
happens.
What it does to Matthew's brain.
Right.
Yeah, take two quarterbacks in round one.
The old two-quarterback system.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't work in Friday Night Lights Season 3. Probably wouldn't work for the Washington Commanders. My bold prediction is that we see a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of them early. I'm predicting we see 6 quarterbacks in the first 13 picks. And the reason why is that, so we know about, obviously, Caleb. We know about Jaden Daniels. We know about Drake May as your top 3. And then I think we will see Penix, Bo Nix, and McCarthy potentially go 11, 12, 13. Because those three teams, they need quarterbacks. Like, I just don't think we're going to be seeing Jarrett Stidham as the week one starter, or Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew as the week one starter.
Zach Wilson.
Sam Darnold as well in Minnesota. Like, I think all those teams come out of the draft with quarterbacks, and they may do it in the first 13 picks.
I would agree with that. I mean, I do think at the end of tonight, there's a quarterback on the Raiders, Vikings, and Broncos,
yeah.
for sure. Where that could, I mean, there's a chance that the Vikings sit back and say, like, we think Bo Nix is dropping to us at 23, and we'll take that shot.
Right, no surprise. Number one overall, Caleb Williams, as expected. Connor, what are you expecting from him immediately off the bat in Chicago?
This is an easy pick for the Bears. I like that they decided to restart at this position. You trade Justin Fields. You get a better passer in Caleb Williams. This is a guy that full field reader, limitless arm, very twitchy in and out of the pocket, can create explosive plays. Yes, he gets caught hunting some of those explosive plays too much. I think it's because he was on a USC team that the defense was awful. He knew he needed to put up 40 points every single night. But Caleb Williams comes into a situation where he's throwing a Keenan Allen. He's got DJ Moore. That offensive line's coming together. This is just a slam dunk for the Bears.
Yeah, by the way, I've also been described as very twitchy, but not in a positive way, the way you just used it as a compliment for Caleb Williams. I think the interesting thing is here, this is a guy who had back-to-back seasons in college with 10 rushing touchdowns or more. So the fact of the matter is will he use his legs? Because if he uses his legs, to your point, like Shane Waldron's the offense coordinator in Chicago. He had a lot of success, obviously, with Geno and also Russell Wilson before him in Seattle. So here's an offense that, like, again, with Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet, by the way, and Gerald Everett is not a nothing, and DeAndre Swift, who should be used in the passing game. If he can do that along with his using his legs, suddenly he's in that, you know, he's a borderline QB1 as a rookie.
Yeah, I think the sneaky thing, too, is with
fantasy-wise, obviously.
Chicago might just be really good, like, from the get-go. They had arguably the best defense in the NFL the back half of last season. Their offensive line is better. They have all these weapons. If Caleb Williams comes in, he doesn't need to be C.J. Stroud from last year, but if he's somewhere in that kind of world, Bears could win the division. They're plus 370 to win the NFC North now. That division is loaded, but I think Chicago is going to be very exciting beginning this season.
He comes into a situation for a rookie quarterback that I don't think anyone has ever had in that situation with that much talent around him. I mean, Stroud obviously had stepped up, but, like, honestly, like, they're making this a successful landing spot for Caleb Williams.
With the second overall pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders take Jaden Daniels.
Not his name. Not his name. Future Hall of Famer Jaden Daniels, now a member of my Washington Commanders. Super Bowl, here we come.
Does this plot go alongside future Hall of Famer Sam Howell?
It does. Okay. It does. Although I've heard rumors Howell may now go in as a Seahawk. It doesn't matter. Jaden Daniels is a future Hall of Famer. I'm on board. So, sure, maybe he took too many sacks in college and he's not particularly big. And as you said, maybe only an average arm. Whatever. The fact of the matter is, Jaden Daniels, like you just saw that, like, 12,000 passing yards, 3,000 rushing yards in college, only FBS quarterback there. He had 22 touchdowns on deep passes for LSU last year. Helps when you have, you know, Malik Nabers.
Brian Thomas Jr.?
Yeah, that's okay.
We have to talk about
that. But whatever. Fact of the matter is, here's the thing. He's going to a team with guys that can fly, right? Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson as well, and Cliff Kingsbury as his coach. It's a fantasy-friendly offense. Remember, Kyler Murray, under Cliff Kingsbury, was quarterback 5 on a points-per-game basis from 2019 to 2022 under Kingsbury, given the rushing ability and the fact that Sam Howell was a top 10 quarterback fantasy-wise last year for a bad Commanders team. I think Jaden Daniels will challenge Caleb Williams to be the number one quarterback in fantasy this year among rookies.
Connor, statistically, what do you think he'll be in year one?
Oh, it's a good one. I think he's going to run a lot, right? And he's going to run a lot to make up for, you know, he's a guy that likes to see it and throw it rather than throw with anticipation. And that's okay. We've seen young quarterbacks come into the league and be able to run themselves out of trouble. So I like the upside of the rushing. You could see him getting to 700-plus yards. What I wonder is the touchdown equity for him because he's not a big guy. He needs to learn how to protect his body. He took some big-time hits in college. So when you get into the red area, do they go, hey, we're going to kind of spread the field out. We're going to lean on our running backs a little more, which they have plenty of talent back there. It's going to be interesting how they use him with that. But the mobility is off the charts. I like the release. He's a touch thrower, not a bazooka kind of arm. But with Cliff Kingsbury, that's a good fit.
Third overall pick, Drake May, North Carolina to the Patriots. No real surprise here, but Connor, Drake May, pretty divisive quarterback. What are the Patriots getting?
I mean, they're getting my number two quarterback in the draft and a guy that, listen, great. I understand.
Washington's already screwed up the draft. We're three picks in.
I understand the concerns. This is somebody that in a really bad offense developed bad habits this year. Yeah. Throwing into triple coverage, throwing off the back foot, trying to do too much. But he's a young quarterback. I mean, also, his mobility is underrated. He's forced 47 missed tackles over the last 2 years. He was a creative runner in 2022. Felt like he got a little worn down in 2023. 77 big-time throws over the last 2 years. Those are pro throws by PFF's metric. Those are the special, doing the most with that bucket throws, big-time arm. Listen, you'd love him to go into a situation like this where he's going to sit behind Jacoby Brissett and he's going to marinate in that offense a little bit. He needs the game to slow down for him. But in terms of talent, this is the upside to be a top 12 quarterback.
Love the use of marinate there, Matthew. We need to use that in draft chat more often.
We certainly will. I'm going to marinate in that analysis. I mean, I just think fantasy-wise, he strikes me as kind of a deep two-quarterback league guy, as a bye-week guy until we see if the rushing production comes there. My guess is that it's still going to be somewhat of a conservative offense, play good defense, run the ball. I know it's a whole new coaching staff there, but still, the fact of the matter is when you look around the skill players in the passing game and the fact that Dre May, as you mentioned, needs some seasoning. He shouldn't start. I think maybe second half of the year you could see him again, bye week fill and that sort of type, but probably not somebody you're drafting in redraft this year.
Yep. I think Connor, pretty safe to say that he is more of a project quarterback and probably won't statistically have the production that Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels will initially.
No, and I don't think they'll, to Matthew's point, want to put him in that position, right, where you're asking him to do much. This is a team that's still rebuilding the roster. You don't want to throw him into the fire. They do have picks the next couple of days where they're going to make this offense better. But I would limit your fantasy expectations for Drake May in year one.
Number 4 overall pick to the Arizona Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr. This was his expected landing spot. Connor, it seems like a pretty good one.
The best player in the draft, a high floor player, a big-bodied wide receiver, so much build-up speed from that 15 to 30-yard range. Just the tracking is A++. The way you just see it when he's working down the sideline. He's somebody route polishing his game. All these Ohio State wide receivers, they come out of that program with such good coaching. Think of Chris Olave, you think of Garrett Wilson, on and on and on. Marvin Harrison, for such a big wide receiver, has that great route, polish and technique, and just the ability to finish plays in the air by you know, dragging his feet in bounds. He's pro-ready in that aspect. Not a lot of one-foot inbounds catches. This guy's going to be a stud in an offense that should get him the ball a lot, Matthew.
I'm thrilled he's not with the Patriots because there were some rumors that he was going to go there. So very
deep
excited
breath
about them as somebody who has Harrison in Dynasty. Thank you very much. Thank you, Arizona. Look, Mike Wilson's a nice player. We like the human Dortch, Greg Dortch, but he immediately becomes number one on an offense that's going to need to throw a lot with a real quarterback in Kyler Murray. You think about DeAndre Hopkins, those couple of years there, had a 27% target share, and I think that's easy to expect for Harrison, a 27 to 30% target share right off the bat. Here's what's weird. I think he's going to have a monster rookie year and still potentially be a disappointment because the hype on him is going to be off the charts.
Yes.
I think he's probably a borderline top 15 fantasy wide receiver, easily top 20, but I've seen him going top 10 in some early best ball drafts, which is kind of insane, Jay Croucher.
I think the thing with Marv, too, is that Kyler Murray has become the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
Kyler Murray is an above average NFL quarterback. People
Absolutely.
Talk about him like he's just another guy. He is a fantastic quarterback. He was the MVP favorite at midseason a couple years ago, so I think that the pairing of him and Marv should be excellent and should produce basically from the start.
I'm with you, and his best attribute that people don't talk about enough, when it's a scramble drill, the play breaks down. Nobody was better in the country than Marvin Harrison Jr. coming back to his quarterback,
Kyler,
climbing the ladder. Kyler Murray running around is going to have his guy. He's going to throw those jump balls too. It's a great fit for Arizona, a great landing spot for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Fifth overall pick in the draft to the LA Chargers, Joe Alt. There was a thought that the draft kind of starts at five. You surprised they took him here, and who are they getting?
Not surprised because I thought he was the best offensive lineman in a really good offensive line draft. Number one, a skyscraper at tackle, but his movement skills are rare for that size. He's got good length, and what I'm sure the Chargers loved about this is not only that I know he's a left tackle, but they probably feel comfortable with his athleticism. He could play both sides. Run scheme-wise, you could do anything with him. He can get out of the gate, and he could be a puller. He could block an outside zone. If you just keep things simple downhill, which we know Harbaugh loved to do at Michigan, this guy could drive block off the ball while being a reliable pass protector to keep Justin Herbert upright. Joe Alt's one of the best players in the entire draft.
Yeah. I've often been called a puller as well, just not in that context.
You don't get out of the gate too quick these days, though,
really,
I'll tell you that.
I certainly do not.
You also can only play left tackle. You
this
can't
is
play
also
right
true.
Yes.
Everyone knows I can't play both sides. What I will say is like it's further evidence. Like they want to run the ball. Right, you just talk about his run blocking skills. Obviously, this is actually kind of good news for Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins in that order. This is a team that's going to run, but it's further concern about Justin Herbert as a fantasy prospect. It's hard to see him as the top 10 fantasy quarterback he's been throughout his year. Again, no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams, no Malik Nabers, like we were hoping maybe Nabers would go here. They'll probably draft one in the round two, but the fact of the matter is like this is going to be a run-first team, and Justin Herbert's going to be handing off a lot next year.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that organizations, they tell you what they want to do through the draft. And this team, I mean, would have been more fun, I think, visually, if we were watching him throw to Malik Nabers, Justin Herbert. But Harbaugh clearly wants to run the ball, and it feels like this is going to be more of a Gus Edwards type of offense than an air-it-out Justin Herbert type of offense.
It's an identity pick. I mean, you have Joe Hortiz come from Baltimore, you have Jim Harbaugh. We know what he just did. Those guys, those organizations, whether it was Harbaugh at Michigan, Hortiz in Baltimore, they lean on the offensive line, controlling the clock with the run game, playing great defense. The Chargers are telling you who they are now. Now we'll see if it works. I think it will.
Yeah, they're going to be maulers. They're going to be maulers.
Sixth overall pick in the draft, my New York Giants, my beloved New York Giants, as of late January 2024, select Malik Nabers 10 years after taking Odell Beckham, another LSU receiver for my Giants, Connor.
I love this fit. They couldn't get up and get Drake May, so what do? They finally get a true explosive threat through the air, a guy that I think he's a DJ Moore clone, and the usage could be the same. Throw him a screen, run by the entire defense. Have him go vertical, throw the ball over the safety's head. That's Malik Nabers to me. So productive in this offense, you could play him inside, outside, use him in motion, manufacture touches to him. The Giants have not had a playmaker like this, Jay, and it feels like just so long. I've loved this fit for the entire year, and I understand why they were interested in getting a quarterback of the future, but I like that they didn't reach on J.J. McCarthy, and instead, let's make our offense better, and if we're going to move on eventually down the road from Daniel Jones, the next guy will come into a much better situation because Malik Nabers is there.
Yeah, listen, it's not an ideal landing spot fantasy-wise. He's probably going to have the worst quarterback of any of the rookie wide receivers. You know, I mean, like, he's not as good as Kyler, right, Daniel Jones is, but having said that, like, there's no competition for targets. Friend of the podcast, Jalen Hyatt, we kind of like him, but there's rumors that Darren Waller might retire as well. Now you're looking at Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson. Like, he's going to get a massive target share. And I think about Garrett Wilson, another New York rookie wide receiver, went to a bad quarterback, but still had a very productive fantasy season as a rookie. So I think Malik Nabers, massive target share and massive talent. he's going to be a fantasy factor this year.
The other thing is, too, is that everyone talks about Daniel Jones as though he's a sunk cost. 2 years ago, Daniel Jones won a road playoff game in Minnesota.
Fine.
He was very good 2 years ago. He'll have a better offensive line. Neighbors is a weapon that he's never had in the passing game, really. So I think that Jones will be competent enough to get Neighbors the ball and make him productive.
And Daboll's a good enough play caller, by the way, that will figure out ways to exploit his speed and figure out mismatches. Good pick by the Giants, by your Giants.
Well, fire it up. Let's go, Neighbors.
The right pick for the Giants.
I can't wait for you to wear a Neighbors jersey tomorrow.
Seventh overall pick in the draft to the Tennessee Titans, J.C. Latham of Alabama. Connor, Titans go offensive line back-to-back years.
Yeah, Titan up. Feels like our first surprise on value. Latham, to me, was a more back-end, second-half around one player. I just don't know if he's going to stick at tackle at the NFL level. Okay. I don't know if he has the movement skills on an island to stick at tackle. He's a really big guy with great grip strength in the run game. A lot of his best assets really translate to guard. Now, the Titans, they took a guard in the first round last year in Skoronski. I'm sure they want Latham to play, I would think, right tackle. That's been his position at Alabama. So I like the run blocking ability. I do have questions about him in pass pro. Sometimes he doesn't bring his feet with him when he throws his hands. He did have a lot of false starts and a couple holds over his years as a starter. So this feels a little early, but the Titans, they are a team with the Callahans at the helm. They want to run the football and have a rebuilt offensive line.
I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, like, you know, Bill Callahan's the best offensive line coach in possibly NFL history. And so I'm sure he had a lot of say in this decision. And so whether it's free agency or now the draft, the Titans are saying, hey, we've got to improve on what was the worst offensive line in football last year. And so I think the Callahans together will get this offensive line certainly an improvement, give Will Levis some time, and you certainly feel better about the prospects of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears running behind an improved offensive line this year. Not a lot of fantasy impact here, but just, listen, it was an area of need, and they went out and filled it.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it was such a mess last season. You felt bad for Derrick Henry running behind that line, but the fact that, you know, they do have now back-to-back first-round picks to fortify the offensive line, also just to keep Will Levis upright, who's not afraid of getting hurt, potentially. And I know he's got his weaknesses in pass pro, but at least they are addressing that area, and it seems like this is the team they want to be.
And I think one thing, Matthew, that's big here is the goal line running for Will Levis, behind J.C. Latham.
Sure.
He can quietly pop in a couple more touchdowns than you expected before this pick.
Let's go. Mayonnaise for everyone.
All right. We have our first stunner of the draft. I'm stunned by this. Consider me stunned. Eighth overall to the Atlanta Falcons, who have a quarterback man in Kirk Cousins already. Right. They take Michael Penix Jr.
$100 million. I mean, it's not just a quarterback. It's not like, oh, we have a quarterback. Yeah. They spent $100 million guaranteed Kirk Cousins for the next 2 years. By the way, this is what's amazing here is that now everyone's going to be like, what were the Falcons thinking? And Washington's off the hook for once. No one's talking about what the hell was Washington doing, which is everything. Like, on the one hand, Connor, we were talking off the air, good for Michael Penix because it's been a long road to get here for him, and there are a lot of questions and tough last game as a college player. But so good for him. On the other hand, he's now a top 10 pick, top 8 pick, right? But on the other hand, bad for him because he's going to sit behind Kirk Cousins for the next 2 years. They're paying him way too much money to not play Kirk Cousins.
It is a really interesting situation when you look at the divide and how Kirk Cousins is going to feel about this as well after signing there. Now, what I will say about this, my bold prediction was that he would go before J.J. McCarthy.
Nice job. Good call.
I thought it was going to be 11 to Minnesota. This is a big surprise. I thought Michael Penix would go either to Minnesota or the Raiders where he's the guy from day one.
Or Denver. He'd be a starter in Denver, too.
He had a long college career. He's one of the most pro-ready, I think, the best pocket passer in this draft. Big howitzer of an arm. The situation is very, very murky for him, you know, from day one. He's a talented player. I know people are going to clown this pick or make jokes about it. I thought he was the third best quarterback in the draft. But you're right, Matthew. The usage of assets of whatever's going on in Atlanta is very interesting.
It's a weird one. Like, do they suddenly trade Kirk Cousins? Like, I don't know what they're doing here. You can never have too many good quarterbacks, this is what happened when they drafted Cousins, when the Commanders drafted Cousins and they already had RG3. You can never have too many good quarterbacks. It's an asset. But still, fantasy-wise, Michael Penix has no value except for dynasty leagues because he's not going to start as long as Kirk Cousins is there.
We're going to be talking about this one for months. Pick 9 in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears take Rome Odunze, loading up on offense to go with Caleb Williams. to go with Keenan Allen, to go with DJ Moore. This team is loaded now on offense.
I love this move because to me, Rome Odunze, the closest comp for him is Keenan Allen. Now he gets to go be in the same room as Keenan Allen and steal some of those things that's made him such a great NFL wide receiver. And honestly, after this year, Keenan Allen will probably walk in free agency. Now Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams are that really dynamic duo with DJ Moore in the mix as well. Odunze, an outside receiving threat, one of the best contested catch players in the entire country this year, one of the best workers in this entire draft class. What a great situation for Caleb Williams' rookie season.
That's the thing. The rich get richer, right? I mean, so, like, the fact of the matter is that when Rome Odunze is your third wide receiver.
Good living.
Good. You are living good. You are eating good in the neighborhood, as our friends at Applebee's might say. I'm a company man. The Very fact good. Of the matter is that while this is great for Caleb Williams, great for the Bears, great for the future, it's not great for his fantasy value. Like, I think back about JSN last year, who goes to Seattle, where, by the way, Shane Waldron, the Bears' OC, was the OC last year. JSN goes there. He was our best wide receiver coming to the draft, but he goes to a team with Lockett and Metcalf, finished last year's wide receiver 56. Now, Keenan Allen, could he get hurt? You know, he's more injury-prone than Lockett and Metcalf are. But I just think it's going to be hard to draft Odunze in as anything other than a late-round flyer in redraft leagues this year because, again, at least initially, he's going to be the third option on a passing offense that should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think this Bears team is going to be fantastic next year. Like, they are, yeah, it's a tough division, and but compare them to a Packers team that was one play away probably from making the NFC title game. I'm not sure the Bears have less talent than the Packers right now. And obviously, Jordan Love is more proven than Caleb Williams, but this team is stacked, and they might be really good straight away.
Yeah. There's no question about that.
Okay, well, the draft has officially gone off the rails. The Vikings trade with the Jets to 10. They take J.J. McCarthy. They get their quarterback. Not sure this is how they envision the draft going, though, Connor.
No, and the movement here, right, they were at 11. They just flipped to 10. Tells you a little bit of panic. I think Michael Penix going 8th set the NFL draft on fire and set the NFL world of quarterback-needy teams on fire. It felt like Penix was kind of the sleeper agent of this quarterback class, and I think there were some big fans of his in Minnesota's building, and I think Minnesota, as soon as he went off the board, we don't get aggressive now for McCarthy. They probably were out on Bo Nix. This is it. This is like, it right here. It's going to get scary quick.
Guys, it's going to be expensive. Our choice is Sam Darnold. Pay what we got to pay.
Make the call.
Make the call.
And you know what? A couple of mid-round picks to the Jets, a good flip for them. I bet there's some disappointment, though, that it wasn't Michael Penix that they ended up with. I think, I'm telling you right now, I don't think the Falcons taking Penix at 8 surprised multiple teams behind them that thought they had it in the bag.
Think about if you're Minnesota. You stole Kirk Cousins and you stole Penix.
It's Falcons! Crazy. It's
Falcons!
Crazy.
Oh, they hate him in Minnesota.
Fall to your knees.
Exactly.
Look at the sky.
Falcons! I will say this, though, from a rookie fantasy perspective, and we've seen what C.J. Stroud did, right, you know, in terms of a rookie non-running quarterback coming in. Like, J.J. McCarthy lands in a great situation where he's playing in a dome. He gets to throw to Justin Jefferson. He gets to throw to Jordan Addison. He gets to throw to T.J. Hockenson. Like, all of a sudden, like, J.J. McCarthy is suddenly really interesting as a QB2 in this offense with Kevin O'Connell calling plays.
What a landing spot, Matthew.
Really great landing spot for him.
Looks like the Falcons just traded for Justin Jefferson and Randy Moss.
exactly.
So, yeah, the show goes on.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm just seriously, they're just like, Falcons.
How could you keep doing it? You can't keep getting away with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com.
Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
With the 10th overall pick, the Jets traded back to 11, and they gave the Vikings the 10th pick. And so now at pick 11, the Jets finally select Penn State offensive tackle Olu Fashanu.
Nailed it, Matthew.
Oh,
well done.
I nailed the name. I beat the odds. Did the Jets nail the pick?
I think they did. My 7th overall player, my tackle 2, only behind Joe Alt. There's really ranging opinions on Fashanu. He could go in the early 20s. He could go like this in the top 15. The pass protection skills are phenomenal. Tyron Smith hasn't played a full season since 2015. Now the Jets have a short-term fix if Tyron gets hurt again, and their long-term left tackle. Ironically, some of his pass pro traits remind me of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, longtime left tackle of the Jets. The run blocking, a work in progress. I think the man scheme run blocking is good. The Jets are going to be more man scheme heavy for Breece Hall this year. The zone stuff still needs a little bit of work, but Fashanu, he's a long-term answer for what's been a long-term problem for the Jets.
Yep, so Connor, last year the Jets' offensive line was just a catastrophe, frankly. But now they bring in Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, you got AVT there, now you got Fashanu. Is this almost the strength of the team if they stay healthy?
Yeah, and that's what they want, right? You got a 40-year-old quarterback, you got to keep him upright. You got maybe a top two running back in football back there that you want to utilize. And then obviously you want as much time for Aaron Rodgers for those explosive plays to Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. They'll draft a wide receiver on day two as well. So this is the Joe Douglas way. He's wanted to build this offensive line. He got his way in this draft.
Massive need for the Jets, obviously. Are you surprised with Brock Bowers still sitting out there that they didn't go there?
No, I actually had offensive line to them in my last mock draft with Bowers falling a little bit. So I feel like that was a big smoke screen along the way. I thought they would have taken one of the top three receivers if they fell. They didn't. They trade back, get some more picks, add to the offensive line.
Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers is happy about that. No worry about Michael Penix showing up or, no, I got somebody to protect me. There you go. The Jets with an offensive lineman at pick 11.
12th overall pick in the NFL draft, the Denver Broncos take Bo Nix, 6th quarterback off the board already through
12
picks.
Good on your bold prediction.
Thank you. The pick to spare in the 6th and first 13. Bo has been linked to the Broncos for a little while now. What do you think of the pick, Connor?
Well, I think it's a good fit with Sean Payton, right? Bo is a point guard in this offense for Oregon the last 2 years. He really reinvented himself since transferring from Auburn, where you saw the athleticism outside of the pocket to throw on the run. You saw the ability to throw with timing. And his ability pre-snap, he didn't take really any sacks the last 2 years. His ability pre-snap to understand where the pressure was coming from and throw it hot. He's not a guy that I'm going to put the team on my back and run for 50 yards and throw all these bombs down the field in the vertical offense. But, and I think this is early. Let me be honest with you. I thought Bo was a second-round pick. I don't think he's ever going to be this top 12 to 15 quarterback. I think he's always going to be better than the backup, so he's somewhere in the middle. But the Broncos had to come out of this draft with a quarterback, and Sean Payton was clearly very comfortable with Bo Nix because they never really showed interest of moving up for him.
I mean, they already have Zach Wilson, so I mean, they already have a quarterback and Ben DiNucci. Here's the thing about Bo Nix, though, right? 38 career rushing touchdowns, also very mobile inside the red zone, around the goal line. You think about how Sean Payton used Taysom Hill in New Orleans, and also what he likes about Drew Brees, right? That short passing, the accurate passing. So he kind of gets both with Bo Nix. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Drew Brees, or maybe not even as Taysom Hill, but to the point of like what Sean Payton wants to accomplish in Denver, I think Bo Nix can do that, which is one of the reasons why they make this selection here. It's a good landing spot for Bo Nix, who should start right away.
Yeah, he should. And look, last year it just never felt like Payton really wanted Russell Wilson. It always felt like an awkward marriage, and now he gets his guy to run the offense how he wants to do it. So, look, it doesn't seem like there's an amazing ceiling, but it could look a little more fluent than it did last year.
Meanwhile, by the way, Michael Penix, the one guy, like, how am I not starting? 6 quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. All 5 of them land in pretty good spots.
I thought he was the most ready. Him and Bo are the most pro-ready.
Penix sits for a couple of years. What are you going to do?
13th overall pick, the Las Vegas Raiders take Brock Bowers at tight end after they took a tight end in Michael Mayer early in the second round last year. Does this surprise you, Connor?
It surprises me, and I understand that the regime was different, but I still think Michael Mayer is going to be a good player in this league, and now you kind of wonder how the structure of this offense is going to look, because Bowers is awesome. And I'll say this, maybe they don't care that Mayer's on the roster because Bowers can really be their power slot. So your receiving core can kind of look like Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers. Bowers is going to play off the line of scrimmage. Michael Mayer is going to play on the line of scrimmage. So I think a lot of people are going to overreact, and I understand it's a bit of a stunner, right? Let's call it what it is. Bowers is a great player. A lot of people didn't think he'd go 13 to the Raiders. They thought he'd either go earlier or 15 to the Colts. But I think they have a plan to use both guys at the same time, Matthew.
Well, you have to wonder, does this mean Davante Adams might be on the move, right? I mean, all of a sudden you sort of think like, oh, you got Davante Adams and Jakobi Meyers, and you got Michael Mayer, and now you add Brock Bowers, who's going to demand targets, obviously, led Georgia in receiving, I think, each of the last 3 years, right? And so the fact is that, like, for a team that wants to run the ball and doesn't really have a quarterback, it's an interesting pick, but maybe it was just literally best player available.
It has to be.
And he was the best player available. Michael Mayer and Michael Penix, both dynasty stock today.
Do you think that they were planning to take just the last remaining quarterback at 13 and there was just no one there?
It kind of feels that way.
The Penix pick really screwed everything up.
It shocked everybody, it feels like, especially at 11 and 13. And they're sitting there and going, okay. What shocked me, though, I didn't think it would be Bowers if they missed. I thought they could miss the quarterback run. But they have a hole at right tackle where I'm like, maybe they take Taliza Fuanga. Maybe they take Quinyon Mitchell at cornerback.
Sure.
This is undoubtedly a surprise. A great player. You can't kill the pick because he's a great player. But the Raiders are building their team much differently than a lot of other ways.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is you wish Bowers would have gone to a better quarterback situation.
Yes, you do.
And with less target competition, but he's an insanely talented player, and insanely talented players find ways to produce.
23rd overall pick in the NFL draft, beloved producer Stevens, Jacksonville Jaguars. They take Brian Thomas Jr., who I think some people were expecting maybe to fall to the Bills. They don't get him. The Jags get him, another weapon for Trevor Lawrence in what should be a revamped offense. What do you think of the fit?
I love the fit. This offense wants to now push the ball down the field. You signed Gabe Davis. You had Brian Thomas Jr., top 15 player for me. Reminds me of Christian Watson. Length, speed, great athlete. The route tree a little narrow. I mean, basically with LSU, they wanted him working down the field. That's okay. That's a good skill to have. A lot of people said that about DK Metcalf once upon a time, and he worked out just fine. So Brian Thomas Jr., big play threat, great production. He was the player of his state championship basketball game. If you're wondering what kind of athlete this is, very, very unique athlete.
Yeah. And by the way, the other thing is that we've seen this a lot with some rookie wide receivers that in terms of fantasy, like over the second half of the year, they start to come on. And so you sort of feel like Gabe Davis has been inconsistent throughout his career. Zay Jones has had trouble staying on the field. Evan Ingram stayed healthy last year, but he's another guy that's also had some injuries as you think about sort of the pass catchers here. No Calvin Ridley for the Jaguars anymore. So Brian Thomas, I feel like it'll take him a little time to expand his route tree, and we'll see what the playing time split is between him and Gabe Davis. But he becomes very interesting in Dynasty, and certainly over the second half of the year, great landing spot long term for him in a pass-first, fantasy-friendly offense with a pretty good quarterback.
Is there redundancy here with Gabe Davis? Are they going to be similar in the routes they run?
Brian Thomas Jr. is just so much better, in my opinion. And like you said, Matthew, it might take the first half of the season. So you have some protection here if you're Jacksonville, but not a lot of people in the NFL can run like him at 6'3". I thought his 40 was more impressive than Xavier Worthy's because I saw this impact on tape, and he's 6'3", 209 pounds.
Okay, pick 28 in the NFL draft. Kansas City Chiefs trade up with the Buffalo Bills, and they take Xavier Worthy, one of the more fun picks of the first round, I think. Connor, in your write-up on Worthy, you said that his landing spot would largely define his success. Feels like a pretty good landing spot.
This is the best one, right? And if you're trying to get inside the mind of Andy Reid, he's probably thinking, can this be my new age DeSean Jackson? I mean, you're talking about somebody that will be one of the lightest receivers in the league, but he will also be one of the fastest players in the NFL. I think he does a really, really good job, obviously, separating deep but tracking the deep ball. Some of his drops were more focused drops, some stuff underneath the layups along the lines of that. The play strength needs to get better at his weight, but the Chiefs are going to know how to keep hands off of him at the line of scrimmage. This is a dream landing spot for Xavier Worthy, and Matthew, he becomes very interesting in fantasy right away.
Yeah, sure he does. Wait, so you said he had issues with the drops in college?
Have you heard that with the Chiefs before?
Chiefs with a fast guy but has issues with the hands.
He's not MVS.
All right, fair enough. Hey, what, Kadarius Toney? Seriously, of course. He insanely fast player with going to an offensive genius and a quarterback that's got a cannon for an arm. Like, fantastic. Now, the other issue is that they have got some other guys like this. They've got Marquise Brown on this roster now. They've got Justin Watson. They've got guys that can fly down the sideline, and so good luck trying to defend all of them. You have to figure out that the off-the-field issues for Rashee Rice may have played somewhat into this pick as well, but certainly fantasy-wise, anytime a guy that has the talent of Xavier Worthy winds up on an offense coached by Andy Reid and quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, that becomes really interesting for fantasy. Again, we saw the success that a rookie wide receiver had last year for KC.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, too, is that just visually, this Chiefs offense is going to be able to breathe again. They had no three-point shot last year, just nothing deep for them. Still won the Super Bowl, but this year they should be more explosive like they were with Tyreek Hill. Okay, second last pick of the first round, 31. San Francisco 49ers take Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, to add to an incredible wide receiving core of Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Question is if these three are actually going to take the field together.
It's funny how things work. When you do your rankings, you have some players who are like, why am I so high on this guy and nobody else really cares? I have Ricky Pearsall 36th. He goes in the first round. So right. the league ended
so
up loving it.
You're smarter than everyone else, except
I wasn't. I was too low. Too low, Matthew.
There you go.
Elite separator. I mean, that's the thing with Ricky Pearsall. Can play inside, outside. Such a good separator from that 0 to 12-yard range. He just understands how to get off the line of scrimmage, varied releases, good speed. The adjustments to the ball are perfect. Catches everything, one-handed catches. I am fascinated by the future of this wide receiver core
now
and where it goes, because that will change his impact in fantasy.
Yeah, of course. It just depends on Brandon Ayuk, who's been mentioned in trade rumors. Does he stay? Is he on the 49ers, as you've alluded to, Jay, or does he move on? The fact of the matter is that going to a Kyle Shanahan offense who gets the most out of his players, like whether it is this year or the future, Ricky Pearsall is going to be a thing in fantasy football. And for the 49ers, it's a great pick for them, great depth. And just adds to Brock Purdy's weapons.
Yep. Do you think this makes it more likely they would try to move on from Debo or Ayuk? Who is Pearsall more like?
Well, Pearsall's more like Ayuk because of the separating skills. You just wonder, would anyone take on Debo's money? As he, you don't want to say he's breaking down, but he's a guy that's hurt more often. Now, the question is, can they free up that Debo money, pay Ayuk, and have two elite separators for Brock Purdy? That's the dream if I'm Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers.
Okay, last pick of the first round of the NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers take Xavier Leggett.
Nailed it. Good job, Jay.
After they trade up with the Bills, are you surprised that they traded into the first round to take Leggett?
Well, they loved him, right? I mean, they're in his backyard, so they knew a lot about this guy. Late breakout player from South Carolina, a fifth-year player that was such a good special teamer for so long and then became their offense in every single way. They would scheme up throws to him.
Right.
They would throw him the ball down the field. He's a big-bodied player, 220, 225 pounds. Pretty good vertical long speed. Not the most agile guy, not an elite separator in one-on-ones, but he can catch the ball over defenders. So for the Panthers, they need to get more weapons for Bryce Young. They get aggressive to go get their guy. And a player that can climb above the ladder will probably help their young quarterback.
Another guy you could see coming on in the second half of the year.
We need
to see how does Bryce Young develop under Dave Canales. You would expect him to be the second passing option after Deontay Johnson, who obviously is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. So how much passing volume does that offense have? Can it support two fantasy-relevant wide receivers? But talented player who's going to a quarterback that has nowhere to go but up, right? And we expect this offense to be better under Canales.
There's some targets there, too.
For sure.
And Leggett, you know, was used in unique ways. He wasn't just an outside receiver that throw him a fade route or a jump ball. They would throw him screens, shallow crossers, just find ways to get the ball in his hands. I wonder if the Panthers think the same thing.
Do you think there's enough talent now around Bryce Young where he can be properly evaluated this season?
I want to see how this expensive offensive line gels together. But, yeah, I mean, they bought an offensive line. They've gone out and gotten receiver options in the pro market and now the draft market, and they hired a play caller.
So, I was going to say, they hired a quarterback fixer coach,
right?
Like, who made Baker Mayfield a thing.
They did everything they could do.
Resurrected Geno Smith the year before that. So,
it will be better for Bryce. I know everybody's out on him. It will be better.
100%.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Night one of the draft in the books, guys. We're going to have Wes. Clap it up.
Yeah, let's go.
You made it through.
Let's go. I made it through that's the biggest storyline of draft.
The over.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You're alive and
I'm still awake. Yes. No, seriously. It was great. Great. I mean, there was drama. There was action.
Surprises.
It was 15 picks before we saw a defensive player go off the board. Lots to unpack.
Yeah, plenty to unpack. But the thing that I will remember most, tier one by itself, is Michael Penix going to the Atlanta Falcons, which is, one, you could just never envision that actually happening. Two, it just has a million repercussions. Three, just the content it's going to provide with the agent and Kirk Cousins already kind of going back and forth with the organization via leaked reports and quotes and stuff. The vision of Fontenot, talking to Arthur Blank. It's all fantastic.
Yeah, as we're going to look at the recap of the, how the draft went, that was absolutely the stunner, Jay.
And that's the big story.
Matthew? I don't think it ended there. I think Brock Bowers going to the Raiders.
That was a surprise as well.
Right. Not a lot of people had that one. And like you said, it took us a long time. Pick 15 is where the first defensive player comes off the board, and Leiatu Latu to the Colts.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You think about the Chiefs getting Xavier Worthy. That's really interesting. Ricky Pearsall to the Niners. A lot of people thought he was going to be a day two pick as well. So suddenly there's going to be a lot of talk about is Brandon Ayuk on the move when you think about what Pearsall does as well. So and you know what? And there's some really quality lineman picks here as well.
Yeah, a lot of quarterbacks got a lot of help. We're going to get to the winners. But before we do, Matthew, how about a loser from
today? Yeah, I mean, well, we'll start with Michael Penix. Jay, thanks so much for just starting there. But honestly, look, when we started the night, there were a number of teams that needed a quarterback. Chicago, Washington, New England, Denver, the Raiders, the Vikings. And there were six quarterbacks that we expected to probably go in the first round. So it sort of made sense, right? Jay, that was your bold prediction. Six quarterbacks would go in the first 13 picks, right? And that's ended up cashing. Good job there. So, but we expected sort of those six teams that I just mentioned to all wind up with a quarterback. And with Michael Penix going to the Falcons, he is, to me, the biggest loser. This is somebody that had, listen, great for him to be a top eight pick overall, right? It's a long road for him to get there. But from a playing time perspective, he goes to a franchise that has $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins over, in essence, the next 3 years. It's a four-year deal. They really can't get out from under that contract until 3 years in. Michael Penix is 24 years old, or will be in a month. So there's a theory where he's not playing until year four, where he's 27 or 28. And, oh, by the way, the whole point of drafting a quarterback in the first round is that you get that playoff, that you get that five-year window where they're on a rookie deal. Right, and the idea of Penix specifically is he was the most ready to start of all the quarterbacks, and now he's going to sit. And so from a fantasy perspective, he's by far the biggest loser because he's the only quarterback that isn't going to have any fantasy value this year of the rookies, at least as long as Kirk Cousins is healthy.
Yep. My loser would be Brock Bowers just because there were other spots that he could have gone. Like he was the favorite in the market to go 10th to the Jets and have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback and have really – I mean, I know Garrett Wilson's there and Mike Williams, but he's clearly the tight end. If he's there, could have gone to the Colts with Anthony Richardson, where it's Michael Pittman, but then not a great deal else competing with him. Instead, he goes to the Raiders, who just took Michael Mayer. I understand, as you pointed out, Connor, they are different types, but still, it's Davante Adams, it's Jacoby Myers, and also it's Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew as your quarterback. So not a great result for Brock Bowers.
For me, guys, how about the Buffalo Bills? And I understand, right? Maybe they didn't like Xavier Worthy like the Chiefs did. Maybe they didn't like Xavier Leggett like the Panthers did. But why are you trading with the Chiefs for crumbs, a team that has your number over and over again and saying, you know what, come into the spot, take the guy you want. We don't think he's as good as you do, but often the Chiefs seem to be more right than the Bills, if history is any indicator right now. I understand you do business with a lot of different teams for your own draft capital. Why are the Bills doing business with the Chiefs and then trading out of the first round altogether? And they didn't miss the wide receiver run. There's plenty of wide receivers on day two. But I just didn't like the transaction at all for Buffalo. And I don't think the Buffalo fans did either when they saw Kansas City.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, you just, you help the rich get richer.
Right.
Which is a tough one. And you had to figure they were taking a wide receiver when they moved up. Don't answer the phone.
All right. How about who's eating good? Of course, served by Applebee's. Our winners on the night. Barry, who do you got?
You know, there's a lot of guys that you could choose. I'm going to go with Caleb Williams. So first off, look, we knew he was going to be the number one pick, but it was made official tonight. And he goes to a team that has DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet and, you know, and Gerald Everett, who's a nice pass-catching tight end. And so, and then they go out after they draft Caleb Williams and they get Rome Odunze. And so while I think it's not a great landing spot for Odunze, who's got a lot of target competition, the fact of the matter is he's going to be another weapon for Caleb Williams. I don't remember a number one overall pick quarterback going to a team as loaded as the Bears are. Chicago is saying, we are going to make Caleb Williams work as much as we can. They're giving him his every chance of success. So I think he's a big winner, like getting Odunze and landing on a team with that kind of talent.
Yeah, and a good change of strategy from giving Justin Fields nothing for multiple years.
But yeah, now, so many number one quarterbacks go to a team that is just threadbare. That's why they're picking number one overall. But having DJ Moore and getting Keenan Allen in this offseason and now drafting Odunze, Caleb Williams is a big winner tonight.
Yep. My winner is the New York Jets, who I think benefited from the Vikings, frankly, kind of freaking out after the quarterback situation got a little weird with Penix going 8 and trading up for the Jets. So they add additional draft capital. They fortify their offensive line anyway at 11 with Olufshanu, who adds now to an offensive line, which is a disaster last year. Now they have Tyron Smith, who may not stay healthy, but he may stay healthy, and there's upside there. Morgan Moses, you've already got AVT there. This is suddenly now no longer a weakness of the team. And this team, like, the defense might be the best in football. The offense is fortified and could be a strength of the team after being a crippling weakness for so long. Like, there is... I know you don't want to believe it, but there is a very good, there is a real chance that the Jets could be in the Super Bowl. They have that level of talent on the roster.
I'd love to believe it. I just need to see it. Yeah. For me, guys, my winner on the night is whoever the Chargers over the next 2 days draft at running back, right? Okay. And I know they got the Gus Bus there, but you add...
And Dobbins.
I mean, who hasn't played a lot of football lately.
Fair.
You have Rashawn Slater. You now have Joe Alt, who's a freak of a tackle prospect, such a special prospect. Jim Harbaugh, one of his quotes after was, I know you're going to ask me about getting a weapon. He goes, we got a weapon on the offensive line. This is a team that's going to run the hell out of the football. I think the Chargers are going to draft a running back that's very relevant in the next 2 days, and that player is going to be a big-time winner because they're going to get a lot of work one day, maybe not as a rookie, but at least in year two. All right, how about before we put a complete bow on this night, predictions going into day two. Jay, you got a bold prediction for me.
Bold adjacent. I'm going to say that there is going to be only one running back max taken before the third round. Obviously, we didn't have one in the first round, and so I'm saying that there will be potentially one tomorrow, whether it's Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, but I don't think that we're going to see multiple running backs taken as we continue to see that it's just not a strong year for running back, right, as opposed to, for instance, wide receiver, where we just saw 7 taken in the first round.
How about you, Matthew?
So I'm going to say, listen, it's clearly a crazy quarterback needy league, and I think Penix going to the Falcons sort of, a lot of people sort of screwed it up because it's like, so now the Raiders still need a quarterback. Other teams that were rumored to maybe take a quarterback, the Giants are one of them as well. They're, you know, the Jets have a 40-year-old starter.
The Rams could.
The Rams certainly could as well. So Spencer Rattler gets drafted in the top 50.
I think
we see Spencer Rattler come up the board. He's the next quarterback on the board. I think he'll go. I think he'll go sooner than a lot of people think.
It's been a good process for Spencer Rattler. For me, guys, I think we're going to have a hell of a wide receiver run to kick off tomorrow. I think in the first 15 picks, we could see up to 8 wide receivers taken, and we're going to show my best available going into tomorrow. It's no coincidence that plenty of them play the wide receiver position. Yes, we got Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Legette in night one. That was a nice surprise, but as you see here, Jalen Polk from Washington still out there. Troy Franklin from Oregon still out there. The speedster, Ladd McConkey from Georgia. Matthew, I know you have at least one dynasty share of Ladd McConkey.
Yep.
Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell right outside looking in on this list. You'll hear those names early as well. I really do think we could have 8 go in the first 15 to 20 picks tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of fantasy relevancy there as well. It's been a great draft for fantasy football-wise, unless you have dynasty shares of, you know, Brock Bowers or Michael Penix.
There you go.
Some leagues make you draft before the NFL draft. Looking at you, Scott Barrett.
Who do you think the Bills take at 33?
Feels like it's leaning towards Mitchell. Okay. I think that, you know, the fact they – I had heard the three receivers they did the most homework on was Xavier Worthy, Xavier Legette, and Adonai Mitchell. They let teams come in to take Worthy and Legette. So
– would you have preferred one of the Xaviers for that team?
No, I think Mitchell has the most talent. It's getting him fully locked in. Once again, I didn't really have a problem with him passing on Worthy. It's that you just gifted the Chiefs the ability to come up and get him. It's weird business. And the trade wasn't that they got a great return. They swapped a couple of picks. A
lot of trades on day one involving picks, none that involve players. I wonder if we see some players move teams in rounds two and three now that some teams have seen what's available, what they've wound up with and everything like that.
Kirk Cousins on the move.
Like, I know that sounds insane, but like does Kirk Cousins demand a trade? Like, or because his camp has been very active getting out the message that he is pissed. So that'll be an interest. That'll be a storyline all throughout tomorrow night, and that'll be the other thing that'll be curious is like, does anything that happened in the draft overshadow the Kirk Cousins Atlanta Falcons rift? Because that's going
to
gain more steam overnight and during the day tomorrow.
My other bold prediction, and this is more for the offseason, I don't think Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are both on the Niners when we start the year. I think that drafting Ricky Pearsall in the first round, just additional capital towards that receiver room already, and just with everything that's going on with Deebo's number, with Brandon Ayuk needing to be re-signed, I just don't think they're all going to head into the season.
It's not passing the smell test. There's a lot of drama around that. You take Pearsall, who I absolutely love, but the league looks at that as a mini-reach-ish.
Yeah, but...
I think he'll be fine, by the way.
But their window is now. Niners' window is now, and they have one of the older rosters in the NFL. So we all like Ricky Pearsall, but to say, like, hey, we want to go to the Super Bowl, but our number two wide receiver is going to be a rookie. I think they tell Ayuk to clam it, and we'll figure it out at the end of it. But too bad you're not going anywhere.
Well, we're going to clam it here. We'll be back for the picks on day two. Cannot wait. For Matthew J., I'm Connor. Catch you for night two.
Peace out.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.